Welcome to the reading of the Iowa Capital Dispatch for March 8, 2024. I'm your reader, Stephen Gaiser. Government and Politics. Proposed constitutional amendment would require supermajority for tax increases. By Robin Opsahl, March 5, 2024. Legislation was advancing at the state capitol Tuesday, proposing a constitutional amendment to make future tax increases more difficult. Senate Study Bill 3142 would begin the process of amending the state constitution to impose restrictions on future tax changes implemented by the Iowa legislature. The measure would prohibit graduated tax rates based on income, requiring Iowa to keep its single-rate individual income tax. It would also require that increases to individual or corporate income tax rates, as well as other taxes, quote, based upon income or legal and special reserves, end quote, receive two-thirds majority support from both chambers. Establishing a new tax would also require a two-thirds support. During a Senate subcommittee meeting Tuesday, Senator Jason Schultz, Republican Schleswig, jokingly debated whether the measure should be called the, quote, Bipartisan Citizen Wealth Confiscation Amendment, end quote, or, quote, Citizen Wealth Confiscation Prevention Amendment, end quote, saying the measure would help prevent taxpayers from having their incomes, quote, taken away from them, easily, willy-nilly, end quote, through tax increases. Quote, it's actually very important to me right now because I'm seeing some things start to slip, Schultz said. Both Republicans and Democrats need to realize that tax policy is affected by spending. And when you start seeing spending creeping up for annual, year after year, new good ideas, you can't have a good tax policy. The program will instead encourage lawmakers of both parties to work within the means currently available, instead of heading to citizens for more funding by raising taxes, he said. Advocates with business, banking, and tax policy groups supported the proposal. Jake Heifel with Iowans for Tax Relief said lawmakers had the opportunity to make policy change that would, quote, outlive, end quote, their time in office and ensure taxes are kept at lower rates in Iowa. He cited polling from the Iowans for Tax Relief that found a majority of Iowans support a flat tax. But others, like Mike Owen with Common Good Iowa, said the measure would harm low-income Iowans and undermine the rights of Iowans. He spoke in opposition to flat tax systems, saying lower and middle-income people pay a higher proportion of their income than wealthy Iowans, compared to a graduated tax where taxes are calculated differently based on an individual or household's income. Owen also called the provision raising the bar for passage of tax increases as an, quote, assault on principles of democracy and equity, end quote, as the measure would give 17 state senators or 34 state representatives the ability to block a tax provision approved by the majority of the legislature. Quote, you have to get a majority to pass. It's a hard hurdle, especially for tax increases as it is, Owen said. This is an incredible burden, especially if you have a situation where, as we believe 10 years from now, we're going to get a fiscal crisis, and we're going to be cutting services heavily, or that's what we're going to have to do because the tax cuts passed. People might not like that, and the person sitting in your seats will then be in a position where they can't correct it. Senator Dan Dawson, Republican Council Bluffs, said the measures adding barriers to some tax changes were necessary to provide some security to families and businesses in Iowa who are depending on the current tax policies to remain in place. Quote, any business here in the state has a 5 or 10 year business plan. Families are always trying to save for retirement, Dawson said. To me, this is a good tool that actually secures the gains that we have made to make the state more competitive. A House subcommittee was scheduled to consider House Study Bill 721, the companion legislation on the constitutional amendment proposal, Tuesday afternoon. If passed by the legislature this year, the proposed constitutional change would have to be approved by lawmakers in the 2025-26 General Assembly before appearing on the ballot for voters in a general election. If approved by the majority of voters, the Iowa Constitution would be amended to include the language. The constitutional amendment was introduced by Dawson and Representative Bobby Kaufman, Republican Wilton, as part of a larger tax plan in early February. Other proposals included a bill to gradually eliminate Iowa's individual income tax, with a drop to 3.775% in 2026. That plan was an alternative to Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds' proposal building off a 2022 law to reduce the individual income tax rate from 5.7% to 3.65% retroactively for 2024 and drop to 3.5% in 2025. The Senate Ways and Means Committee approved the governor's income tax cut proposal in February. While Dawson thanked Reynolds for her proposal at the time, he said lawmakers were still continuing discussions on the best path forward for income tax cuts. Criminal justice and policing, government and politics, Capital Clicks. Bill would increase penalty for exposing minors to, quote, obscene material. By Jared Strong, March 5th, 2024. Legislation that heightens the penalties for giving children access to obscene material advanced in the Senate on Tuesday. House File 2239 would upgrade the misdemeanor classification of the crime, dissemination and exhibition of obscene material to minors, from serious to aggravated. That would increase the potential incarceration for those convicted of the crime from 1 year in jail to 2 years in prison, and the potential maximum fine would increase from $2,560 to $8,540. The bill was unanimously recommended for further consideration by a three-person Senate subcommittee on Tuesday. It was approved by the House 95-0 last month. Quote, "It's a despicable thing," said Senator Herman Kornbach, Democrat Ames, who agreed to recommend the bill but questioned its purpose, given the relative infrequency of arrests for the crime. A report compiled by the Iowa Legislative Services Agency noted there were 9 convictions for the crime in fiscal year 2023 and that none of them resulted in prison or probation. Those who are convicted are required to register as a sex offender for 10 years. The law defines, quote, obscene material, end quote, as, quote, any material depicting or describing the genitals, sex acts, masturbation, excretory functions, or sadomasochistic abuse, which the average person, taking the material as a whole and applying contemporary community standards with respect to what is suitable material for minors, would find appeals to the prurient interest and is patently offensive, and the material, taken as a whole, lacks serious literary, scientific, political, or artistic value. The existing law exempts parents and guardians of those younger than 18 from prosecution if they distribute the material to their children. Election 2024, Government and Politics. House votes to require mailed ballots to arrive before Election Day. By Robin Opsahl, March 5th, 2024. Absentee ballots would have to arrive by the day before Election Day to count, under a proposal passed Tuesday by the Iowa House. Lawmakers approved House File 2610 with a 62-35 vote. The measure would change the early voting window in Iowa, requiring county election commissioners mail absentee ballots no earlier than 22 days before an election, and requiring ballots be received by 5 p.m. the day before an election to be counted. While the bill provides slightly more time for county auditors to mail absentee ballots to voters, an increase from 20 to 22 days before an election, Democrats said the measure requiring absentee ballots be received a day early to be accepted is unnecessarily burdensome for voters. Under current law, absentee ballots are accepted on Election Day upon arrival until polls close. Representative Adam Zabner, Democrat Iowa City, said that not accepting absentee ballots on Election Day would make Iowa, quote, one of the most restrictive states in the country, end quote, for voting access. House Minority Leader Jennifer Confers spoke in opposition to the bill, saying it would significantly burden people from participating in elections using the absentee system versus voting in person. She said the measure limiting the window for ballots to be received by election officials to vote could prevent Iowans' votes from counting because of circumstances outside of their control, like a post office delay. Quote, if we as a state have agreed that absentee voting is the legitimate way to vote, then we as a state should not make it so that a person who votes one way has less of a chance for the vote to be counted than someone who votes another way, Confers said. Zabner and other Democrats said the measures restricting absentee voting in the bill would disproportionately impact Iowans with disabilities and those who are older or live in rural areas. Representative John Forbes, Democrat Urbandale, spoke against a component of the bill banning ballot drop boxes, speaking about his elderly father's preference for returning a ballot via drop box because of his concerns about the security of postal systems. Quote, I think this bill demonstrates to Iowans, especially Iowans that may have a difficult time getting to the voting booths and voting polls, it's going to make it more difficult for them to cast their votes, Forbes said. The bill's floor manager, Representative Bobby Kaufman, Republican Wilton, said drop boxes are a, quote, product of COVID, end quote, and voting during the pandemic. But Zabner argued that the 13,883 Iowans who used drop boxes to vote in the 2022 election should continue to have that option. Other changes in the bill include a ban on ranked choice voting systems and the creation of a voter registration database verification pilot program, as well as measures related to ballot challenges for federal candidates. In Iowa, candidates for federal office convicted of felonies would still be eligible to run for office under the legislation, and objections to the eligibility of a candidate would be limited to whether their petition or certification of nomination meets legal requirements. These proposed changes come amid former President Donald Trump's legal battles. In addition to facing multiple felony charges, his eligibility to appear on state ballots was in question due to a Colorado Supreme Court ruling that he was disqualified from running for office. The U.S. Supreme Court struck down the Colorado decision Monday, likely ending similar challenges to Trump's candidacy in several other states. Though Kaufman, a senior advisor for Trump's presidential campaign in Iowa, did not invoke the former president by name, he said the bill would help prevent, quote, activists from subverting the will of the people, end quote, through ballot challenges. He also pushed back against claims that the changes made to early and absentee voting would prevent people from voting. Quote, voter suppression from these bills is a myth, Kaufman said. It gives Iowans more time to vote. It ensures that our vote remains the most secure in the country. The bill's companion, Senate File 2380, is eligible for consideration in the Senate. Civil rights and immigration, government and politics. Illegal immigration would be a state crime in Iowa under Senate Bill. By Robin Opsahl, March 5, 2024. Iowa law enforcement would have the authority to arrest undocumented immigrants for entry into the state if they are in the states illegally, under legislation passed Tuesday by the Iowa Senate. Senate File 2340, approved with a 34-16 vote, would make entry or being found in Iowa an aggravated misdemeanor if the person was denied admission, deported, or removed from the U.S., or if they have such an order outstanding. People removed from the country related to certain convictions could face felony charges under the bill. If arrested, state courts would be able to order the deportation of undocumented immigrants arrested in Iowa, and law enforcement and state agencies would be able to transport migrants to a port of entry to ensure they leave the country as ordered or face felony charges. Senator Janice Wiener, Democrat Iowa City, asked the bill's floor manager, Senator Jeff Reichman, Republican Montrose, how Iowa law enforcement would transport a person to a port of entry, a procedure Reichman said would be determined through the rulemaking process. Wiener criticized the provision for being either unrealistic or extremely expensive. Iowa has one port of entry, Des Moines International Airport, which offers few international flights. Ensuring a person gets on a plane would not likely ensure they leave the country, Wiener said. The other option of having law enforcement escort undocumented immigrants directly to the U.S.-Mexico border would require an, quote, standing unlimited appropriation, she said. Quote, this bill is a political stunt and a false promise that doesn't contain the needed resources, Wiener said. It's a gotcha bill. But I have great news. There's a solution out there, colleagues. A tough bipartisan compromise bill was hammered out in the U.S. Senate. Wiener called for lawmakers to contact Iowa's federal congressional delegation to support legislation on immigration supported by Democrats and some Republicans like Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell that GOP senators rejected in February. Wiener also introduced a measure to allow abatement of prosecution in such cases if a person is under or eligible for a protective visa under the Federal Violence Against Women Act. Under federal law, undocumented immigrants who have been trafficked can be issued protective visas when working with law enforcement to help capture traffickers and abusers. Wiener said the bill, in its current form, would remove protection for these groups and would remove incentives for victims to work with law enforcement to capture the, quote, worst actors, end quote, in trafficking situations. Though Reichman pointed to a provision in the bill that prohibit law enforcement from arresting people in schools, churches, and facilities providing health care or forensic medical examination for sexual assault, Weiner argued that these provisions would not protect victims of trafficking. The amendment failed 17-33. In his closing comments, Reichman said President Joe Biden took an oath to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution, laws, and flag, just like he did as a Marine Corps officer and state senator. Quote, "What is unconstitutional is the way that our federal government is abdicating their duties," Reichman said. "They refuse to enforce the laws. Our president took that same oath and, along with U.S. Customs and Borders, he has failed." The legislation moves to the House for further consideration. Criminal justice and policing, government and politics, justice. Bills addressing AI-created porn, misleading content pass Iowa House. By Robin Opsahl, March 6, 2024. As concerns grow about the misuse of artificial intelligence in creating images and videos, House lawmakers passed several bills Wednesday adding criminal charges for certain uses of AI, as well as passing legislation requiring minors to receive parental consent to access social media. House File 2240 and Senate File 2243 passed unanimously, would make it a crime to create media showing a, quote, visual depiction, end quote, of an individual, recognizable through their face, likeness, or distinguishing features, engage in a sexual act, or in full or partial nudity without their consent. Violations would be an aggravated misdemeanor for depictions of adults and a felony for depictions of a minor. Both bills are in response to developing AI technologies that can use existing photos, videos, and recordings to create new depictions, including creating pornography or other obscene materials using someone's photos or videos posted online. Representative Helena Hayes, Republican New Sharon, said the legislation was necessary to take on the, quote, dramatic rise in the use of artificial intelligence to create non-consensual pornography, end quote, happening in Iowa and nationwide. AI-generated images and videos mapping a person's face onto other material, sometimes known as, quote, deep fakes, end quote, can be used to create the, quote, modern take on revenge porn, end quote, Hayes said, and can be used to extort or harass a victim. Quote, "This content is not only becoming more realistic, but also much easier to create," Hayes said. This increasing problem has led to the FBI to issue a public service announcement in June of 2023 of the increased use of, quote, deepfakes, end quote, to create explicit content and sextortion schemes. "Mr. Speaker, it is a well-known fact that pornography has harmed many, many people," ellipses. "This bill adds deepfake revenge porn into the assault code so that it, too, can be considered harassment," end quote. Hayes said the bill, adding further penalties for AI-generated content depicting minors in explicit images or videos, was important, as the FBI reports the sort of content often involves depictions of minors. The victim may be unaware the images exist until it is brought to their attention by another person or used against them in an extortion case. Quote, "Once circulated, victims face significant challenges in preventing the continual sharing of the manipulated content or removal from the internet," Hayes said. "And here in Iowa, we have faced this very thing already. So this legislation gets ahead of the oncoming problems regarding technology," end quote. The representative also gave a reminder that the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children have created a tool called Take It Down to help minors remove and stop the sharing online of sexually explicit media with their depiction. The use of, quote, deepfakes, end quote, and false AI-generated content was also discussed with House File 2549, a bill that would add criminal charges for the creation of campaign materials that involve false representations of candidates and issues that could impact voting at an election. The bill also would require campaign materials to include disclosures on the use of AI to generate content included, and if AI-made content is, quote, materially deceptive, end quote, showing a candidate saying or doing something that did not happen. Representative J.D. Scholten, Democrat Sioux City, said the legislation is crucial as Iowa and the nation nears the 2024 election. In the campaign cycle so far, there have already been instances of AI being used to generate content some say is misleading without disclosure. For example, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' presidential campaign and his supporting super PAC released ads using generative AI tools to have former President Donald Trump's voice reading his tweets out loud, were showing an AI image of Trump and former chief medical advisor Anthony Fauci together. Neither ad contained disclosures about the use of AI in creating the advertising material. Quote, "This bill matches the moment," Shulton said. "Often, legislation lags behind the technology, and we all understand the importance of the 2024 election and election integrity." Ellipses. "And so for that, I want to thank all the folks who've worked on this bill. It hasn't been easy. This is cutting-edge technology that we're trying to help protect from." The legislation passed 93-1. Parental permission for social media. As lawmakers discussed the impact of emerging technologies on the internet, representatives also passed House File 2523-88-6. The bill requires minors between the ages of 13 and 18 to obtain parental permission to create accounts on social media platforms and prohibits social media companies from collecting data from minors without parental consent. If the parent gives permission, social media companies would be required to give parents access to see their child's account and personal messages and be able to set privacy or time limits, as well as the ability to revoke permission at any time. The bill was amended to more clearly define, quote, social media, end quote, websites, excluding online gaming platforms, as well as websites like a company's online help desk. The Iowa Attorney General could bring civil actions against social media companies for violations of the bill. Representative Charlie Thompson, Republican, Charles City, linked the legislation to the previous measures on AI use in creating sexual content. Quote, "I'd like the body to be cognizant of the number of deaths that have occurred because of exploitation of social media by bad actors," Thompson said. "Many of these are younger men, 17 and under, who've been exploited using sexploitation techniques referenced," ellipses. "These are preventable suicides, almost a homicide, because some of these bad actors have encouraged the suicide victims to actually commit suicide." Representative Sammy Sheets, Democrat, Cedar Rapids, spoke in support of the measure. Quote, "As somebody who grew up during the age of social media, I know firsthand some of the harms that can have on the mental health of children in our state," Sheets said. D.C. Bureau, Election 2024, Government and Politics. Trump, Biden, close in on clinching nominations after broad Super Tuesday victories. By Ashley Murray and Jacob Fischler, March 6, 2024. Washington. Despite facing 91 felony counts, hefty civil penalties, and a packed 2024 legal calendar, Donald Trump emerged on Super Tuesday as the Republican Party's presumptive choice as its presidential candidate in November. The former president has secured 995 of the necessary 1,215 GOP delegates needed to clinch the GOP nomination, and likely will meet that number in primaries later this month. Super Tuesday's contest did the same for President Joe Biden, delivering him 1,497 of the 1,968 Democratic delegates needed for his party's nomination at the Democratic National Convention in August. Trump's lone challenger dropped from the Republican U.S. presidential nomination race Wednesday after the former president's overwhelming victories in more than a dozen Super Tuesday states. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley suspended her bid without endorsing the party frontrunner, saying, quote, "It's now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him, and I hope he does that," end quote. Quote, "At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away," Haley continued in a speech from Charleston, South Carolina. "And our conservative cause badly needs more people. This is now his time for choosing." On top of that, Trump at last earned the endorsement of Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell, according to news reports. Despite the overwhelming performances, neither frontrunner produced a clean sweep Tuesday, as Haley holdouts in Vermont and a tiny ripple of Biden opposition in American Samoa, as well as an, quote, uncommitted, end quote, vote in Minnesota, revealed vulnerabilities. Haley's exit from her long-shot campaign all but cements what voters have expected, a November rematch between Biden and Trump, whose loss in 2020 sparked a violent attack on the U.S. Capitol. Trump faces four federal criminal charges for attempts to subvert the 2020 presidential election results, a case stalled by his legal appeals for complete immunity from criminal prosecution, a matter that will be decided in the coming months by the U.S. Supreme Court. The High Court ruled Monday in another legal tangle involving Trump. The justices unanimously decided Trump could remain on Colorado's Republican primary ballot after that state's Supreme Court removed him based on a Civil War-era constitutional clause barring insurrectionists from holding future office. Trump targets Biden. In a dark victory speech Tuesday night from his Mar-a-Lago residence in Palm Beach, Florida, Trump focused on Biden, whom he called, quote, the worst president in the history of our country, end quote. Trump blamed inflation and an immigration surge on Biden. Trump maintained that he was the victim of election fraud, a claim that had been widely debunked, and unfair targeting by the Justice Department under Biden. Quote, in some ways, we're a third world country, he said Tuesday. We're a third world country at our borders, and we're a third world country at our elections, and we need to stop that. Trump has consistently claimed his efforts that led to the January 6th attack were meant to counter fraudulent election results, but has shown no evidence of determinative voter fraud. Courts dismissed dozens of claims he brought following his re-election loss in 2020. Uncommitted votes. On the Democratic side, as predicted, Biden also finished Super Tuesday as the clear Democratic choice in more than a dozen states. However, neither Biden nor Trump cleanly swept their party's primaries and caucuses throughout 16 states and one U.S. territory. The contests were held in Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Virginia. Biden also won Iowa's Democratic mail-in vote Tuesday. While both men picked up hundreds of party delegates during the single largest day of nominating contests on the 2024 race calendar, Haley squeezed out a win in Vermont, picking up 9 delegates, according to the Associated Press delegate tracker. Biden lost a handful of delegates in Minnesota to voters who chose, quote, uncommitted, end quote, apparently as a protest of the administration's stance on Israel's continuing bombardment of the Gaza Strip. As of Wednesday morning, nearly 90% of voters in the Democratic Farmer Labor Party primary, the state's Democratic Party, had chosen uncommitted. Biden split delegates with politically unknown entrepreneur Jason Palmer, who defeated the incumbent in a small contest on the U.S. territory of American Samoa. McConnell endorses Trump. Haley holds out. After Tuesday's results made clear Trump would be the Republican nominee, Kentucky's McConnell, the most high-profile GOP official to withhold support from Trump, issued an endorsement. Quote, it is abundantly clear that former President Trump has earned the requisite support of Republican voters to be our nominee for President of the United States. It should come as no surprise that as nominee, he will have my support, McConnell said in a statement first reported by Politico. Haley did not immediately endorse Trump after a primary race that became increasingly bitter as the field winnowed. Trump did not mention Haley's name in a Tuesday night victory speech, and it was Biden who made the first appeal to her voters in a campaign statement Wednesday. Quote, Donald Trump made it clear he doesn't want Nikki Haley supporters, Biden said in a statement. I want to be clear. There is a place for them in my campaign. Biden said Haley supporters may not agree with him on many issues, but could find some common ground on, quote, preserving American democracy, on standing up for the rule of law, on treating each other with decency and dignity and respect, on preserving NATO and standing up to America's adversaries. Delegate count mounting. Biden and Trump have not yet mathematically clinched party nominations, but the symbolic victories are expected by month's end. At the time that Haley called off her campaign Wednesday morning, she had garnered 89 delegates, according to the latest AP count. Looking ahead, 9 Republican delegates are up for grabs in American Samoa on Thursday, and GOP nominating contests on March 12th in Georgia, Hawaii, Mississippi, and Washington carry a total combined award of 161 delegates. Democrats in Hawaii go to the polls Thursday, where Biden could gain a possible 22 delegates. On March 12th, Biden's party offers up another 235 delegates in contests in Georgia, Mississippi, and Washington. The next two largest delegate hauls for both Biden and Trump come on March 19th, when a total of 350 Republican delegates are available in Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Kansas, and Ohio, and 379 Democratic Party delegates are for grabs in those same states, except Florida, which will not hold a Democratic nominating contest this year. Down ballot results. The struggle for control of Congress also gained more clarity in primary results. In a marquee U.S. Senate race, Democratic U.S. Representative Adam Schiff and Republican former professional baseball player Steve Garvey advance to the general election for a California U.S. Senate seat. Garvey edged out two other Democratic House members, Katie Porter and Barbara Lee, to clear the state's, quote, jungle primary, end quote, where candidates of all parties run in a single race and the top two members face off in a general election. Senator LaFonza Butler, a Democrat, has held the seat since longtime Senator Dianne Feinstein's death last year. Butler did not seek re-election. In Texas, Senator Ted Cruz easily secured renomination on the Republican side, while nearly 6% of Democratic voters chose U.S. Representative Colin Allred to face Cruz in the fall. Neither race is expected to change the makeup of the Senate, with Schiff considered a near lock to win in November, and Cruz only slightly less favored in his race, according to analysis from Inside Elections. In a closely watched race in Alabama's 2nd Congressional District, former U.S. Department of Justice official Shomari Figures and State House Minority Leader Anthony Daniels advanced to a runoff for the Democratic nomination. The Republican runoff will be between former State Senator Dick Brubaker of Pike Road and attorney Caroline Dobson. The district, which federal courts redrew after state lawmakers ignored a court order to create a second majority black district, is expected to favor Democrats in November, possibly affecting the balance of power in the House. You are listening to the reading of the Iowa Capital Dispatch on March 8, 2024, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's continue with this week's stories. Abortion policy, government and politics, Capital Clicks. 16 attorneys general tell YouTube to stop, quote, targeting pro-life messages. By Clark Kaufman, March 16, 2024. Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd is leading a multi-state effort in demanding that YouTube remove specific abortion-related information from its site. Byrd and 15 other Republican attorneys general wrote to YouTube this week and demanded that it remove or revise what Byrd calls a, quote, dangerous and misleading, end quote, label attached to a video that pertains to chemical abortion pills. The label, Byrd says, is, quote, targeting pro-life messages, end quote, and contains inaccurate information that jeopardizes women's health. Quote, we are disappointed to see your platform suppresses pro-life and pro-woman messages by distorting them with false information, the letter states. Your bias against pro-life and pro-woman messages is un-American, inconsistent with liberties protected by the First Amendment, and, in this case, illegal. It must stop. At issue is a video that the conservative organization, the Alliance Defending Freedom, has posted to YouTube. The video references the alleged dangers of unsupervised at-home use of abortion pills. YouTube, in turn, has attached a label to the video that states, quote, an abortion is a procedure to end a pregnancy. It uses medicine or surgery to remove the embryo or fetus and placenta from the uterus. The procedure is done by a licensed healthcare professional, end quote. Quote, the last sentence of the notice is both false and misleading, the attorney general wrote in their letter. It suggests that chemical abortions are performed by trained professionals. They are not, ellipses. We demand that you remove or correct the notice immediately. The Alliance Defending Freedom is fighting a Food and Drug Administration decision to remove a requirement for medical supervision before, during, and after taking an abortion pill. That change, opponents of the bill argue, endangers women's health. Byrd and the attorneys general claim that about 1 in 25 women experience severe complications from using the pills and require emergency medical care. Quote, women deserve to know the truth about the dangers of chemical abortion pills, Byrd said in a written statement. YouTube must end its blatant misinformation campaign that puts women at risk and quit targeting pro-life messages. The attorneys general are also arguing that YouTube is biased, quote, against pro-life and pro-woman messages, end quote, and that the social media platform is violating the First Amendment and potentially deceiving consumers. The 15 state attorney general who joined Byrd and signed the letter to YouTube are from Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Georgia, Indiana, Kansas, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, Utah, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Planned Parenthood defends YouTube label. Planned Parenthood North Central States says the YouTube-imposed label is a medically and scientifically accurate description of abortion. The organization says the Attorney General and their letter to YouTube are making false claims about the safety of medication abortion. With a medical professional, patients can safely decide when the abortion starts, where it should happen, and who should be with them. Planned Parenthood said Wednesday, adding that federal data shows medication abortion has a, quote, safety record, end quote, of more than 99%, and that serious complications are rare. Quote, this is just another deplorable attempt to stoke fear among the public, who now lives in a constant state of manufactured chaos, said Ruth Richardson, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood North Central States. Medication abortion has proven to be an extremely safe and effective way for patients to end a pregnancy for more than nearly two decades. It breaks down existing barriers to care that would otherwise require people to drive hundreds of miles to access an abortion and empowers patients during very personal medical decisions. People need greater access to accurate information about abortion care, especially now. Ag and environment, government and politics, capital clicks. Meat labeling bill advances in Iowa House after Senate approval. By Jared Strong, March 6, 2024. Legislation that would forbid food processors from labeling imitation meat products with words associated with butchered meat received early support Wednesday in the Iowa House. Senate File 2391 would establish fines for businesses that manufacture, package, and label foods for sale in stores when their products lead to consumer confusion about whether the products contain meat from livestock. Violations can incur fines of up to $10,000. The bill was supported unanimously in the Senate last week after it was amended to remove a prohibition on Regents University research into meat substitutes. But the bill retained a provision that would prevent schools, community colleges, and universities from purchasing the, quote, misbranded, end quote, meat products and lab-grown meat. According to the bill, misbranded products are those that are derived from plants, insects, or cultivated meat that are labeled with words such as cow, chicken, meat, beef, broiler, drumstick, wing, and several others. There are exceptions for labels that also contain, quote, a conspicuous and prominent qualifying term, end quote, such as fake, imitation, or vegetarian. A House subcommittee voted 2-1 on Wednesday to recommend the bill for further discussion. Representative Monica Kurth, Democrat Davenport, did not support the bill because of its restrictions on food purchases by schools. She said House Democrats have mixed opinions about the restriction, but that there is widespread support for the rest of the bill's provisions. Quote, the labeling I was in favor of, she said. Representative Heather Hora, Republican Washington, who led the subcommittee, said the legislation is necessary to ensure consumers know what they're buying. Quote, Iowa farmers work hard every day to bring nutritious, real meat to market, she said. Lab-grown products are not the same as the high-quality beef, pork, or other meats raised by Iowa farm families. Education, government, and politics. Capital clicks. Bill to have community college leaders create aid distribution formula moves ahead. By Brooklyn Drazy, March 6, 2024. A bill handing the development of community college aid distribution formulas to community college leaders will head to the Iowa Senate floor after moving through committee. The Senate Appropriations Committee passed Senate File 2373, which would strike current code on the formula determining state funding allocations for each of the state's community colleges and form a council of community college presidents and chancellors to determine the formula on a yearly basis. As amended, the bill would have this president's council consider college enrollments, combined support, and other relevant factors when determining the formula. And no college will receive fewer allocated funds than in previous years unless the base funding allocation itself has been reduced, Senator Tim Crayenbrink, Republican Fort Dodge, said. At least 10 of the 15 community college leaders would need to approve the formula for it to head to the Department of Education for implementation, according to the bill. And if a consensus cannot be reached by October 31st each year, the department will determine the formula instead. Crane Brink said during the committee meeting that the bill came to lawmakers from the community colleges and schools that could see either increases or decreases in appropriations are fully backing it. Quote, the neat thing is that all 15 of the college presidents and chancellors voted 100% to support this, and very rarely do you get 100% of anybody that's on a winning or losing side to support something that they believe in so much. And I think with the newness of our lot of presidents and chancellors and community colleges, I think that they saw something that needed to be addressed, Cranebrink said. Senator Cindy Winkler, Democrat, Davenport, reiterated concerns she had previously expressed in subcommittee meetings about how students currently enrolled in high school and college courses would factor into the formula, as they are counted in community college enrollment for funding, but the money those programs generate come through K-12 channels. She said she'd like to see concurrent programming representative in combined support when creating the formula, and that lawmakers continue to have access to breakdowns of how much funding each college would see under the new formula each year to be informed during the budgeting process. Cranebrink said they should be able to cover these concerns as the bill moves ahead. Updating the distribution formula and giving it more flexibility year over year was one of the community college system's priorities for this legislative session, Indian Hills Community College President Matt Thompson said. His college is one that has been weighted at a higher level than others with the current funding formula, he said, and the goal of these changes is to provide more equity across the board. Thompson said the community colleges are seeking a $10 million increase in state aid this year, higher than in past sessions, in order to more quickly reach an equilibrium. Half the funds would go to helping this balance, and the rest would be put into maintaining programs and handling higher costs. Quote, "We have received really unanimous support through the presidents, through the work that we've done to try to determine a solution that helps all of us across the state of Iowa maintain the high-quality programming that we offer at our community colleges," Thompson said. Justice. Two Iowa lawyers agree to license suspensions, and one surrenders license. By Clark Kaufman, March 6, 2024. A central Iowa attorney has consented to a suspension of his license due to an admitted neglect of client matters. In filings with the Iowa Supreme Court, attorney Stephen C. Kaiser of Woodward has acknowledged his neglect in settling the estate of Alan Porter, an Iowa man who died in July 2016 after his house caught fire. The total value of Porter's estate was $206,000. In his written consent to a suspension of his law license, Kaiser stated that, quote, "My neglect of the estate caused the estate to languish from 2016 until I was replaced as attorney for the estate in 2023, end quote. While the estate remained unsettled, three of the beneficiaries named in Porter's will died before they could receive their share of the proceeds. Kaiser also admitted to misrepresentations in court filings, including deadline extensions, that he claimed were filed on behalf of the executor of the estate, who, in fact, was opposed to such extensions. Kaiser also acknowledged that while acting as attorney for the estate, he filed a $38,494 claim against the estate for, quote, legal services, end quote, he claimed to have provided Porter prior to his client's death. In his consent to a suspension, Kaiser admitted the claim included expenses incurred after Porter had terminated his services. Kaiser's claim against the estate was ultimately settled for $10,000. In April 2023, the Iowa Supreme Court suspended Kaiser's license due to issues related to an audit of his client trust account, forcing the appointment of another attorney to act as executor. In his written consent, Kaiser attributed some of his problems to emotional issues and physical ailments, and consented to a license suspension of no more than 90 days, while stating that he and the attorney disciplinary board were jointly recommending a suspension of 60 days. The Iowa Supreme Court then imposed a 60-day suspension. Court records indicate that in 2007, Kaiser and the Attorney Disciplinary Board agreed that he had violated ethics rules related to conflicts of interest and that his conduct warranted a 90-day suspension of his law license. The Iowa Supreme Court opted to impose a 30-day suspension while finding that Kaiser failed to disclose potential conflicts to a client and business partner and then used his legal expertise to, quote, protect his own self-interest in an attempt to cover his financial losses, end quote. Other Iowa licensed attorneys who recently faced sanctions by the court include Kendra Olson of Sioux City, who consented to a license suspension of more than 90 days. The court instead imposed a 60-day suspension. In her consent statement, Olson admitted neglecting to file annual reports and other documents in three separate guardianship cases. She also acknowledged issues with her client trust account and admitted mingling attorney funds and client funds by failing to withdraw from the account her earned fees. She also acknowledged failing to reconcile her client trust account, leading to shortages she then had to make up. Olson also admitted she had compensated for the negative balance in some clients' accounts by borrowing from other client accounts that had a positive cash balance. She also acknowledged that in representing a man charged with OWI, she scheduled a pretrial conference she knew her client could attend and that she did not attend. That resulted in the court issuing a warrant for her client's arrest, which in turn prevented him from being released early on a separate federal charge. Ta Yu Yang of Des Moines, while facing a potential license suspension, opted to retire on December 31, 2023, and in late January relinquished his law license. The Grievance Commission of the Iowa Supreme Court had recommended that the court suspend Yang's license for 60 days due to client trust account issues and 7 prior sanctions for ethics violations. Those previous sanctions were imposed for neglecting client matters, knowingly making a misrepresentation on an appeal in an immigration case, failing to represent a client diligently, failing to file an appeal brief, failing to appear on behalf of a client, failing to maintain client ledger sheets from 2005 to 2018, failing to complete monthly triple reconciliations of client trust accounts, submitting false certifications on CSC questionnaires, and failing to provide information as requested in an attorney disciplinary board investigation. Government and politics. Commentary. Lawmakers need a history lesson on the rise of autocrats and fascists. By Thomas R. O'Donnell. March 2, 2024. So far this winter, Republicans have introduced multiple bills in the Iowa General Assembly designed to battle a fever dream of conservative buzzwords and bugaboos, most pumped with disinformation and exaggeration from politicians and pundits. The latest, Education Bills House File 2330 and House File 2329, are smorgasbords of right-wing resentment and grievance. The original bills took on the largely mythical critical race theory, CRT, in schools, plus social-emotional learning, SEL, a long-standing and successful technique that prepares children to learn. SEL is the latest target for conservative demonization. Parenthetically, the House thankfully dropped the CRT and SEL bans from the bill it passed on February 28th, in parenthetical. With these bills, Republicans stray far beyond their expertise. Parenthetically, with a few exceptions for the former educators in the ranks, and parenthetical, to dictate what Iowa schools should teach about history. House File 2330 would, the Des Moines Register reports, mandate lessons on the, quote, history and meaning of the United States flag and national anthem, end quote, the, quote, cultural heritage of Western civilization, the United States and the state of Iowa, end quote, and, quote, the study of and devotion to the United States' exceptional and praiseworthy history, end quote. It seems that legislators themselves need a history lesson on the patterns found in the rise of autocrats and fascists. Many Iowa Republican politicians, the governor included, are following some of those patterns, whether consciously or unconsciously. Bullet point. The exaltation of nationality, with citizens constantly fed information touting the nation's superiority and exceptionality. Contrary information, such as a history of racism, inequity, or exploitation, is downplayed or eliminated. Bullet point. Elevation of a preferred culture over others, with the claim that its influence is supreme and foundational. Bullet point. Attacks on intellectuals and experts and the institutions housing them, such as universities, that challenge the dominant party's perspective. Bullet point. Attacks on freedom of thought, including book banning and burning, and stringent limits on libraries. Bullet point. Demonization of a minority or underclass, such as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender citizens, racial minorities, or immigrants. Autocratic leaders often blame these underclasses for society's ills and pass laws discriminating against them. Denigrating an underclass creates an enemy for the leader's followers to unite over, sometimes leading to violence. Bullet point. Favoritism toward and or endorsement of a particular belief or religion. Lawmakers will attempt to write tenets of the favored belief into law. Bullet point. Limits on or active persecution of opposing parties and their elected leaders. Bullet point. Voting restrictions designed to limit the voices of opponents and racial minorities. Bullet point. Limits on labor organizations seen as menaces to the dominant party's power. Bills that would do some or all of this are before the Iowa legislature this session. Their threats to democracy and do little to improve daily lives for Iowans. What legislators can do to solve real problems: address agricultural pollution that fouls our rivers and streams and is killing us with cancers. Support public schools so everyone, whether from the smallest town to the largest city, can get ahead with a good education. Improve nursing home regulation to protect our most vulnerable citizens. Ensure Iowans have food and adequate shelter so they can maximize their potential. And ensure health care that rural Iowans need. Those are accomplishments Republicans could truly brag about. Thomas R. O'Donnell is a longtime Iowa reporter, editor, and science writer, and blogs at iowascienceinterface.com. He lives in rural Keosauqua. Government and politics. Justice. House passes bill raising penalties for fetal deaths, adding, quote, unborn person, end quote, language. Lawmakers also debate bill dealing with child support during pregnancy. By Robin Opsahl, March 7, 2024. House lawmakers passed a measure Thursday that would increase penalties in cases resulting in fetal deaths, a move Democrats said could put access to in vitro fertilization and contraceptives at risk. They also started debate on a separate bill dealing with child support during pregnancy. House File 2575, passed 58-36, would increase penalties for the non-consensual ending of a pregnancy, in addition to amending language on these crimes from referring to the termination of a, quote, human pregnancy, end quote, to the, quote, death of an unborn person. An amendment introduced and later withdrawn by Representative Beth Wessel Krochkel, Democrat Ames, would include exclusions for the use of hormonal contraception as well as for in vitro fertilization. The changes come following criticism from lobbyists on the bill's language related to potential restrictions on birth control, as well as in the wake of the February Alabama Supreme Court case ruling that declared frozen embryos were children under the state's 2018 state constitutional amendment to, quote, ensure the protection of the rights of the unborn child. Wessel Krochkel argued that because an, quote, unborn person, end quote, in the legislation is defined as a human organism from fertilization to live birth, the bill could create the, quote, same chaos, end quote, for IVF services in Iowa as what happened in Alabama. She also linked the legislation to efforts to ban abortion in the state and nationwide following the 2022 U.S. Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. Quote, advancing a fetal personhood agenda is just another attempt to deny Iowans reproductive freedom, Wessel Krochkel said. This legislation is a blatant attempt to advance an anti-abortion agenda and further enshrine the myth of fetal personhood in our state code. This bill will further stigmatize abortion patients and providers. It's nothing more than an anti-abortion propaganda and is part of a far-reaching long-term strategy to undermine the rights and well-being of pregnant people. Representative Skylar Wheeler, Republican Hall, said the amendment and Democrats' opposition to the bill were making claims that did not apply to the bill, as it deals with penalties for fetal deaths. He said the phrase, quote, unborn person, end quote, is already defined by Iowa law, and concerns about the Alabama Supreme Court ruling are not applicable to the legislation. Quote, the legislators in here that are trying to turn this into another discussion, it really wasn't that difficult. This definition is currently in code, Wheeler said. So if you're all worried about all these different things you bring up, you should have been worried about it a long time ago because the definition already exists. Bill would extend child support obligations to pregnancy and childbirth. Lawmakers also discussed a separate measure, House File 2363, that would require fathers of children born out of wedlock to pay for some medical costs related to pregnancy and birth of a child. Lawmakers said the proposal is an extension of current child support requirements under Iowa law, which typically start when a child is born. While the bill's floor manager, Representative John Willis, Republican Spirit Lake, said the measure was meant to ensure pregnant women receive support during pregnancy from fathers, Democrats said the measure could have serious unintended consequences for pregnant women. Representative Brian Meyer, Democrat Des Moines, a lawyer, said courts could order a woman to undergo a paternity test in utero for the establishment of parenthood, even in cases of domestic abuse or sexual assault. Representative Megan Svervenus, Democrat Des Moines, a physician, said the methods used to determine paternity of a fetus have a risk of infection, as well as the potential to cause fetal abnormalities, miscarriages, or the termination of a pregnancy. Seren Ivas said she spoke about the legislation with OBGYN providers who expressed concerns about potential court mandates for paternal testing before birth. Quote, "Their biggest concern with this bill was that they would be forced to look one of their patients in the eye and tell them that even though you do not want this risky test, I have to do this because the court is ordering me to do so, abandoning their medical ethics and their promise to always do what is best for the patient," Sir Neva said. "It puts the mother and pregnancy at risk without her consent. It enables that opening. I ask you, please respect Iowa's mothers." The bill was deferred for later consideration. And that does it for today's reading of the Iowa Capital Dispatch for March 8, 2024. I'm your reader, Stephen Gaisher. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, anytime. Thanks for listening.